It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. The State Senate Judiciary Committee heard testimony this week on campus free speech legislation. Under the legislation, all public universities and colleges in Michigan would have to adopt a policy on free expression as specifically described in the act. Bill sponsor Senator Patrick Kolbeck says we need this because universities aren't always willing to protect the free speech rights of unpopular speakers. What do you think, Jack? Is this legislation necessary?
Well, probably not. And it'd be very interesting to see if he'd be so interested in doing this if there'd been trouble with communist speaking, for example. But there have been some conservatives have wanted to speak on campuses and they've been heckled. In some cases, I think their speeches have been canceled, which is very unfortunate. But obviously, we do have free speech rights. One of the ominous things I thought in one of these bills where they talk about free speech can only be banned if necessary for government purposes, not educational purposes. And I found that a little odd. Pat Kolbeck has not been a lover of big government in the past, but it goes to show you there's an old adage that Republicans are in favor of local control except when they're not. So my guess is that he's just letting off steam and these bills won't go anywhere.
Some lawmakers in Lansing want to limit when a state administrative rule can be stricter than a federal one. For example, Governor Rick Snyder has talked about maybe making the state's lead and copper rule stricter than the federal rule. Speaker of the House Tom Leonard says this puts power in the hands of elected officials. Opponents worry it will hamstring local government. Thoughts, Jack?
This is a quintessential example of what I said, Republicans being in favor of local control, except when they're not. What's going on here? The governor is perfectly right. In some cases, federal standards haven't been stringent enough, and if you want Exhibit A, it's Flint. And the governor is sensibly talking about having a stronger lead and copper rule to protect the environment here. The various lobbyists, of course, with these industries have gone to the legislature, and they don't want any stricter standards. My guess is that Leonard and the House Republicans are making a mistake because this is going to be politically unpopular, and it's not going to be a good campaign slogan for them saying, we tried to make you less environmentally safe, especially after Flint.
It sounds like Michigan lawmakers aren't going to have nearly as much money as they thought to put together the state budget. New projections show there's $290 million less than anticipated in tax revenue headed for the state's general fund. That means it's going to be even tougher to put revenue toward tax cuts or other special priorities. Interestingly enough, the state's school aid fund has higher than expected revenue. Jack, these seem like prime conditions for a good old-fashioned money fight.
Well, the problem is you didn't send in your quarterly estimates, Rebecca. If you just do that, we take care of the problem. But it's hard to say. Now, it was very interesting. In the budget, the legislature consistently appropriated less money than the governor asked for, presumably because what they wanted to do is get some kind of income tax cut in there. While $290 million sounds like a lot of money when you're talking about a $55 billion state budget or whatever it is, it's not that much. I think that there would be a horrendous battle if there's any talk about taking school aid money for the general fund. But again, this is preliminary and it's early, but we should keep an eye on it.
Wayne County has agreed to give a company more time on a proposal to complete an unfinished jail in downtown Detroit. Walsh Construction was supposed to complete its response to the county's request for proposal on the facility by May 17th. It now has until June 28th. Work on the project stopped in 2013 due to the cost going over what was budgeted. It's been sitting there unfinished ever since. Jack, when it comes to this jail, it just seems like another day, another delay.
Well, there's a whole lot more to this story than that. It's like the story about when the married couple is arguing about leaving the cap off the toothpaste and not really arguing about leaving the cap off the toothpaste. The backstory is Dan Gilbert, who really wants to take this land and put a soccer stadium on it. Warren Evans, the county executive, has indicated that as far as he's concerned, they ought to build the jail there unless they can show a compelling reason that it would make sense to have it elsewhere. This is a very complex thing. Anytime you have a construction site that's sat abandoned for 4 years, there's a lot of things to figure out in terms of cost and contractors and all of that. I think what they want is to see whether Dan Gilbert will sweeten his bid and provide the county with so much money they can't say no. But as things are trending right now, I would guess that the jail eventually will be finished there and that that makes the most sense. But Mr. Gilbert has lots and lots of money and is used to getting his own way.
All right, Jack. Well, thanks for your insights and try and have some fun this weekend.
I'll go play around the abandoned jail site, Rebecca.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.